As a big guy, you have to either become a mafia boss.
Sure.
Or a restaurant owner.
Well, that's the thing. If you want to stay fat, yes.
If you want to stay super big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Restaurant owner is the position.
And don't think I haven't considered, like, I really want to own a restaurant called Fat Stav's. And it's like,
I think you can, I mean, I'm not meaning to fuck with your idea, but Big Stavies?
Big Stavies, yeah.
Big
Stavies,
Greek, American infusion.
With just like a light up neon me. It's got its little, little hat lights up.
Yeah. Oh, you know? My God.
Yeah.
Then I never thought about this, but you'd be the perfect restaurant owner to go around to tables.
How we doing, folks?
Slightly sexually harass the ladies. Yeah.
You're looking gorgeous, Diane.
Oh, look at what are you doing with this bum?
Oh, my God. What is this?
Oh, Maron. You bite your palm a lot?
Oh. Your daughter's gorgeous. She's 15.
Oh, yeah.
This is a, just like just toeing the line.
What a woman you're becoming.
We're all so proud of you.
Dude, so this was like a year and a half ago, I took Katie out to dinner. Our favorite restaurant's Quality Italian.
Great place.
Have you ever been there?
I have, yeah. It's awesome. Shout out to Timmy D.
That's Tim Dillon. Tim Dillon put us all on.
Put the whole team on.
They opened a Quality Italian in Denver, like in the fancy near Cherry Creek Mall. And Tim knew about it. And I brought Tim with me to Comedy Works. This is like 6 years
ago. Back in the day, yeah.
And I bring Tim with me to Comedy Works. And he's like, let's go get lunch at Quality Italian. We get Trish out.
Ooh.
And I've said it before, but I'll say it as many times as I can. If you get the opportunity for Tim to go to dinner with him and let him run point.
Yes, absolutely.
It's one of the best meals you ever had in your life.
Stand back. Let him fucking cook, dude.
It is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, let the boy go. Peppers and sausage.
Yeah.
And then this. And he just ordered everything. So we love, I mean, I love Quality Italian.
Of course. Great spot.
So I took Katie out there for it. And we were eating.
In Denver or New York?
In New York on 57th Street. And we were like eating. And we got the chicken parm, which is like their chicken parm is like a pizza that they drizzle honey on. Mm-hmm. It's
full. Hot honey. It's good stuff.
It's the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Katie was eating it. And this older guy came over and was like, just talking to Katie.
Yeah. And he works for the restaurant?
Okay.
All right.
That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, this guy must be the owner, the maitre d', or the manager. And he's like, how's the real New York? How's the, how's that chicken parm? How beautiful is that?
Doesn't
look at me.
Right.
Just the whole time talking to Katie. How great is that? We're like, oh, she's like, it's real good. And we eat it.
Yeah.
And we're like, who is that guy? And as we're eating our meal, as the night goes on, another couple about two tables down comes. Same thing. Same guy walks over, just talks to the
lady.
Doesn't
make any eye contact.
Doesn't talk to the guy. Yeah. And then we start wondering, like, does this guy even fucking work here?
Yeah.
Is this guy just coming up and talking to women about their chicken parm?
Yes, yes.
That would be a role that I think you would
absolutely
be fantastic in.
Glad handing, coming through, like comping things.
Oh, you know, like, what? I got you dessert.
Here's a couple tiramisus for you. Come on.
Oh, my God.
I heard how good you're doing in school. I heard you hit a home run in Little League. Here's an apple pie.
Coach Harbaugh, you do not spend a dime at Big Stavies. Dude,
absolutely.
We need to start thinking what we're going to do.
What's next?
Comedy's great right now.
Comedy's great, but it's going to come crashing down.
And when it does, sure, we'll still do it.
Of course.
But where do we pivot to money? Where's our money maker?
Fat Stavs.
Fat Stavs. Big Stavs. I think Fat Stavs. Because you know what? Fat Stavs makes me feel like everything's going to be covered in a sauce.
You know what? You're right. Fat Stavs is the wing spot.
Yeah.
It's my takeout. It's my takeout diner.
Oh, my God.
You know, with just a little limited seating.
If you do... Or that's the to-go menu from Big Stavs.
Yeah, it's called Fat Stavs. There's a little, Fat Stavs.
And it's like a secret menu
where you
mix dishes.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Fat Stavs is the takeout, right?
Yeah.
It's got the window. The actual place is called Venetia's, and it's named after my mother. And
beautiful.
It's the fine dining establishment.
Beautiful.
And it's got a beautiful, like, Renaissance painting of my mom and me as a baby.
Oh, my God.
Me as a child.
Almost like the Virgin Mary. Just on the lap. But it's your adult head, so they know who it is. And they go, that's why we're here.
And then classical
Greek music
just
playing.
Beautiful Greek music. Oh. And it's, like, high-end.
Oh, my
high-end
God.
Greek.
Good luck getting a table.
No chance.
But
for
Fat
you,
Stavs.
But at Fat Stavs. I say, hey, come here. I see a kid. I'm like, hey, you need a job, buddy? Come wash some dishes at Fat Stops.
You come back. You come to the back.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Everyone's working under the table.
I think I would want to do, if I could, I'd probably want to do a weed business. Everyone's doing the, but everyone's jumping in weed and booze now.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird?
I don't think. What would it be? Would you just have a dispensary?
No, I would want a strain.
A strain.
Because that'd be fun to test.
Yeah.
And I would even put out to market the ones that fuck me up.
Right.
Like, yo, this one is spooky season.
I think you got to go dispensary. Because here's what I'm saying.
A full brick and mortar?
Brick and mortar. Because here's the thing. We have to think of weed dispensaries like car dealerships. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe you don't know the car business, but you know how like every athlete...
Or do commercials like that? Where
exactly.
You go, hey, yeah. I'm Dan Soder. Our deals are so good, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Our weed's so good, I'm scared right now.
Yeah, right, dude.
Car commercials, but
yeah.
For weed.
Yeah, but people... Because people want to buy the weed from you. Yeah. Even if you're not the best... You don't have to have the highest quality. It's like, people are buying a Chevy. Like, if Tony Siragusa opened up a fucking car dealership... You
infamously,
know what I mean?
John Elway.
Elway
had
example.
On Arapaho Road in Colorado. He had, I'm not joking, John Elway Nissan, John Elway Toyota. He had everyone. My mom bought a 4Runner at John Elway Toyota.
Exactly, dude. So yeah.
That's the level. That's like only a couple of our friends have gotten car dealership. Nate Bargatze. Right.
Nate could have a car dealership.
Shane at this point.
Yep.
Don't be gay. Buy a car.
Yeah. What are you going to fucking ride public transportation like you're from fucking France, dude?
He goes, that's gay.
That's gay.
Buy a car. I'm trying to think who else of our friends could open car dealerships.
Yeah.
Because I think, you got to find the second hustle. Mm-hmm.
Sebastian Maniscalco, we don't know. He's not our friend personally, but
you're not getting financing, aren't you?
What are you doing over here?
You're telling me. You're not gonna walk off the lot with a new Honda. What
get
are you?
Out of here.
We got some,
disgust me.
What's the deal with Hyundai's? Why are they so affordable? They should be affordable. Yeah. Seinfeld Nissan. It's a Rogue. It's an SUV, but it drives like a car. Yeah, we gotta think of our Sega hustles.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I love it. Soder, you're gonna be a fucking weed guy.
Yeah, dude.
I got Venetia's / Fast
Danny
Stops.
Danny Smokes,
yeah.
Come on down to Danny Smokes. Our weed's so good. Are you mad at me? You start having legit freakouts. Why did you guys hear that?
Oh,
do
my
I have
God.
Cancer? Touch my neck. Yeah, dude, that would be great.
I
and
love
then
it.
Joe List does like a hiking company. He's like, it's beautiful. Come camping.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. I'm gay. What do you want? I'll suck your fucking dick.
I have a kid, please.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Because, it's like the cool part of where we're at in our careers right now is that we were all micers.
Yes.
Dude, one of my favorite stories with you was I met you through Bobby.
Yes, of course. Yep.
You were in Baltimore, but then you started opening for Bobby Kelly. Mm-hmm. Mini Bobby.
I was Bobby's mini me. That's how I broke into New York.
Yeah.
Before anything, before Cumtown, before anything.
Anything.
Bobby's opener who looked exactly like
him. Mean,
we were both completely bald. Like, I had no mustache.
Come here, mini me.
Yeah.
Come here. Do you want to have some delicious fruits? You know what, dude? Come over here. Look at you. You're my little mini me.
Yeah.
But I remember you did this tour with Bobby. Now, Bobby Kelly now is one of the sweetest men
best
in the world.
Best guys of all time.
Because he had a child.
Had a child. And I moved to New York when Max was born, so I almost like track my time in New York with Max's like life.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh my God, my career is a fucking 10-year-old.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's
my
true.
Time in New York is going to be a teenager soon.
Like, you started opening for Bobby when he still lived in the city.
No, right at the end. He had just gotten the house.
Okay, so he just moved
out. Just gotten the house.
Okay,
because
Max was born in the city.
Yeah, no, I started opening for him when Max was born, but I hadn't moved yet.
Okay.
So I, like, literally his first birthday party was, like, when I met everybody.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically, because when I opened for Bobby, I would get the calls from DeRosa and Big J.
Right.
Where they'd be like, how you doing?
Right.
And you're like, I'm all right. And they're like, has he freaked out on you yet? And you're like, not yet. And then January 4th through the 6th, going to be at the Port in Baltimore. Come on out. Working on new jokes. Going to hang out. Have fun to start off 2024. DanSoder.com for full dates and cities. I'm going to be everywhere. So we'll see you in the year 2024. Hope you have good holidays. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all the hits. Happy New Year's, and we'll see you in 2024.
It is hilarious. If you look at everybody, all of us had a complicated relationship with our fathers. Everyone that Bobby like took, he could just
you
sense
gravitate,
that.
Yeah.
You really did.
You don't
like,
know your dad, do you?
Yeah.
You want to open for me at SUNY Delphi?
Right.
You want to come to Helium with me? Yeah. And you're like, yeah,
yes,
that'd be
sir.
Great. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, that's like one of the fun parts of comedy is realizing who else, that everyone's got some dust on them.
There's four types of guys.
But it is weird when you meet someone that had a good life.
Totally.
Yeah. You're like, why are you here?
Yeah, exactly. They're just
why
like,
the fuck did you do stand-up?
It's crazy. And they look at it like, well, I just have to hit certain goals.
Yeah.
By this quarter.
Or my parents will be upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
I try to explain to people, because comedy is very popular now, there's like younger comics I'll meet on the road who MC or whatever when I'm at clubs. And I try to explain to them the embarrassment of telling people you're a comic 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
More than like... 10 years, 10 and over.
That's crazy. You're telling me people are doing it with pride now?
Yeah.
That's like, fucking weird.
That's what I mean.
That's fucking weird.
Where they're like,
yeah,
I'm a comic. It's awesome.
Oh, dude, it ruined my family for years.
Because they're like, well, apparently. Also, you have an immigrant family that busted their ass off.
Yeah, so they're working
to give you a better life.
Dude, totally. My dad abandoned. He's like, I left my family.
Yeah.
I missed my father's funeral.
I mean, he's got that real.
Like, I remember.
They gave him the last of their money and they put it in their hand and they're like. For America. And he was like, I will make this into something.
Yeah, exactly. And so.
And then now you're like, tits.
I'm like, who got pussy last time?
Yeah.
Which one of you motherfuckers
sucked
got
off?
Cunt recently?
You getting sucked off? Your Greek family has no idea that you have a Baltimore accent.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you get fucking sucked
off
by
God,
the water.
He's getting pussy over here.
Yeah.
Like, who's bomb pussy over Jimmy Seafood?
What's your dad's name?
Manolis.
They go, Manolis, how is the new country? How is the new land? He goes, my son talks about blowjobs. Non-stop.
He's bringing disgrace.
Because, you know, it's interesting. On the Giannis episode, we talked about it because he said, like, I was like, what's it? He's like, I'm a comic. And we actually brought you up where he was like, Stavros is just one removed.
Dude, one removed. Like, I went to preschool with a Greek accent. Like,
really?
I spoke Greek before English. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in preschool, like, where do I get the blocks? I want to play Legos. Literally, dude. They dressed me. My mom dressed me up way too nice for a Baltimore City public preschool.
God. Oh, my God.
I was
God.
Getting, like,
all
fucking,
these little black kids are like, what's wrong with
dude,
you?
Dude, I was getting mocked by, like, yeah, we actually had a crazy diverse school. So it was, like, a ton of, like, kids from all over.
Sure.
And so we had a lot of different, like, it was like a little melting pot thing, but I remember just coming from a pretty sheltered, I would only watch Greek stuff.
Like, you never watched Sesame Street?
I watched it in Greek dubs of it. I watched Greek dubs of Aladdin and fucking Little Mermaid and shit.
Really?
Like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Now, let me ask you, as someone that watched dubbed stuff,
yeah,
how close is the voiceover work? Like, is Big Bird just like, hello, counting is one, two, three?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The count's like one, two, there's three. Just the guy who doesn't even fucking know how to count.
Just a Greek count?
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was weird. I mean, it was like pretty.
It's all you knew.
It's all I knew. So I had no idea.
So when you found out that there was like.
It was kind of crazy, dude. And like my parents also like. It's funny to think of me now, but like who I am now. But my mom was pretty strict about like I couldn't watch Simpsons, South Park. I'd like go to my friend Pete's house to watch all that shit. Who also was like. His dad was fresh off the boat.
Yeah.
But his mom, I think, grew up in Baltimore. But it was like.
But you were born here.
I was born here, but I was in. It's crazy how much of a Greek community Baltimore had.
Well, I mean, I lived in Astoria for as long as I did.
Yeah.
It's a tight knit.
No, it is. And like literally, it's crazy to think about, but my parents, when they moved here in the 80s, there was a Greek like community theater group that like sold tickets. Like they could sustain Greek language live theater.
Yeah.
People would come out. There was a store that just sold Greek music. There was like a Greek dude. Sam Goodies.
It's
and it was
so
thriving,
funny you say
dude.
That. It's so funny you say that.
Yeah.
Because I lived, obviously, in Astoria.
Yeah.
I mean,
you lived across the street from
the Greek
Titan.
The Titan grocery store, which is a Greek
Which, I'm not even kidding, we would take field trips and stop at that grocery store.
I mean, you go in there and it's like, they don't even make an attempt. It's how I felt in Arizona when you'd go to a Mexican food restaurant and they didn't speak English. A Mexican restaurant, you'd be like, this is going to be a banger.
Yeah,
like,
this absolutely. Is going
to be, if they are, if they're not even trying, you're like, this food, Rosas, you go to Rosas in Tucson and they're like, you better have some semblance of what Spanish is.
100 Or you're not going to be able to order. Or just get ready to point.
Yeah.
And point. Guess. You know, like, yeah.
But
yeah.
when I went to Titan, which I called Titan for
Titan,
years.
Titan, baby. It is Titan, but in Greek people are like Titan.
And they'll correct you.
Yeah.
Well, I go all across from Titan and they go like, Titan. Titan. And like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Grape leaves. They would sell the stuffed grape leaves.
Dormadas, yep.
And when I barely had any money, dude, I would get real high on resin. I would smoke a lot of resin.
Scrape the bowl, baby.
Scrape the bowl.
Make a little ball.
And make it pop.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yes.
And I would get.
Which is the closest to being a crack fiend. Yeah.
It's pathetic feeling.
It's way pathetic. Yeah, you feel really pathetic.
But I would smoke resin. And then if the money I had, I would get a pack of smokes from down at the bodega. And then I'd walk to Teton. I'd get smokes, a Dr. Pepper, and then I'd go get those wrapped grape leaves.
Mm.
And man,
that's nice, dude.
But next to Titan, there was the Greek Music and Video Superstore, is what they called it. And it was right there.
Yeah.
And now it's a CrossFit.
Yeah. But it was. I remember it. I remember. That's the place they used to take us. We would go to both. I'm not even kidding. They would bring us on Greek school to trips to New York City. We would go to the Met to see Greek statues, no other parts of the museum.
That's so funny.
And then they would take the school bus to Queens, and we would stop at a Greek grocery store and CD shop. Yeah. That was going to New York.
And the joke my old roommate Vic and I would always make was that it was only filled with my big fat Greek American wedding. My big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah.
Where if you went in, it was only the soundtrack and the DVD.
Right.
Is this all you guys have? Just a poster of Yanni on the wall?
Oh, Yanni was another big one. Shout out to Nia Vardalos.
Yeah.
A fucking legend.
Yeah.
A legend in the community. The most profitable romantic comedy ever made. Did you know that?
Is what?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Is that really?
The first one, for real.
You know there's three of them?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have to watch them?
Well, dude. We choose out of our, because we love good art to watch them. Okay?
Yeah, you love cinema.
Have to is a, there's a weird connotation there, Dan.
It's
okay?
Cinema.
It's cinema, okay?
You're telling me.
The franchise, a whole franchise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always crazy to me. When you found out that Sesame Street was in English, did you feel like ripped off?
I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. But did it make more sense?
It was just I don't know. It was just kind of like weird.
At what age did you start figuring that stuff out?
I think when I went to preschool and it was like everyone, like everything's in English. Like my parents just kind of gave up once I was in. Like,
yeah, they're like, you got it.
They're like, you figure it out. And you want to do American shit with what everybody else is. I remember the funny thing was, though, that there was like, I got paired up with like a white trash girl.
Shout out.
And it was like, we were playing House.
Yeah.
We're playing.
She goes, hit me.
No,
hit me as hard as you can.
You're not far off. Where it was like, where everyone's like, oh, you get assigned like play buddies, and everyone's like playing fucking Legos or like tag or whatever. And she wanted to play House, and I was like a really, like when I was like, there was some culture shock. I was also, it's hard to think of, but a shy kid when I first got there.
I think it makes everything you're saying, it makes sense on why you would be shy. English isn't your first language.
Yeah.
You come from a very strict house
where
they're like letting you know that you're in the outside world.
Totally.
Even though that's where you're born and raised.
Yeah.
Like I had a weird thing in Denver because I moved there when I was 5.
Yeah.
And I felt like all my friends were from there.
Right.
And no matter, even though I grew up there.
Interesting.
I always felt like, yeah, but I wasn't born here.
I grew
up here. But you were born and raised there, but it was opposite because they were going like, everyone's an outsider.
Totally. No, 100%. And we would call, I mean, to this day in Greektown, you would call people like non-Greeks, you would say Americans. You would be like, I'm going to go hang out with some Americans.
Yeah.
But
the Chinese do that with Chinatown. They do that thing where they like get their little lock.
We didn't consider ourselves Americans.
That's nuts.
So I was like, I was paired off with this little white trash girl, and she was like, let's play House. And I was like, okay, like I don't. I'm a little boy. I've never played House in my life.
I think you mean single wide.
Yeah.
You want to play single wide.
So house was, she was like, sit down over there. She's like pointed to a chair and she starts sweeping. She puts a baby doll under her dress and she starts yelling at me to do something. She's like, you're just sitting there. Like, I'm not exaggerating at all. This little girl, her idea of playing house was a pregnant woman berating her husband into cleaning more.
And then you're like, and then, what is this?
And I literally was like, what the fuck? And then she... she drops the baby out of her thing. She's like, ah! She starts screaming, dude. And that has burned into my fucking head. Dude, I was like freaked out. I went to the teacher immediately and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Also,
I was
can
so
we do
scared.
A wellness check on her at home?
And I told my mom, and this was like day. This is so early on in preschool. And it was like, I can't imagine my mom freaking out about like everything she thought about public school.
She's like, great. Now my son's exposed to white trash Maryland. Being like, okay, you sit down. Now, again.
Oh my God, what the hell are you doing? Drink. Michael, get your fucking ass off.
Oh, you lazy piece of shit. You're drunk. You lost money on the Wizards.
My sister was right.
Yeah.
My sister was right. I should have never listened to my dad. I should have married that black guy.
Yeah, instead, you said you had a factory job and now you're getting hammered going to the Orioles games.
Dude,
it is really funny when little kids tell on their parents like that.
Dude, it was fucking wild.
Because I always was like, I always thought it was, and I didn't even realize this. I'm really realizing this kind of now in the moment.
Yes, yes.
I used to think it was funny to take shots of like water when I was little and then act like. And I didn't realize that they're like, yo, this kid's parents got a problem. Dude, I was like, they take like blue water and I'd go like. But I always thought it was
funny. Take a couple shots, getting one of those like fucking electric cars crash into a pole.
Yeah, and then just run. Run naked down the hallway. But I always thought when I was a kid that it was funny to take a sip and wince. Because my parents, so I'd be like.
And like by the way, if I saw that, a little kid do that, I'd be like, alcoholic. This kid's fucking hilarious. No, I'd be like, this kid's awesome.
You go,
and then you think
that.
For 1 second why he's doing that, and you're like, ah, damn.
That's funny, because that little girl doing that is very funny on the surface. But then any thought into
and
it,
then
you're like, oh my God,
her life is
screaming
brutal.
As a baby comes
screaming
out.
Screaming and be like, are you patient? Like, not cursing, but like screaming.
Yeah, why are you so lazy?
Totally, dude.
I had a baby at prom.
She starts saying stuff. That, we got to put this baby in the dumpster. And you're like, oh my God, what have you seen?
Brutal stuff. And I don't remember. I don't remember her from the rest of, they might have moved. I don't know.
Did you, with your parents, were you guys in a community that was like protected? Did you feel like if there was a problem at school and you would go home and tell your parents, would they like close ranks with the other Greek people and be like,
oh, that's interesting.
Like, we got a problem with these
actually,
Americans.
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's so funny. I never thought of that. But yeah, there was like a secondary, like, because like we all carpool.
Sure.
Like, at the elementary school, not so much, because it was like we pretty much, we were the biggest part of the community. But yeah, they were at PTA meetings. They were like, they were running shit back then.
Yo, Greeks close rank.
They do.
Probably better than any immigrants.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say the Chinese and the Greeks.
Yeah, the Chinese got it pretty good.
They close ranks in a way where they're like, we're not even going to put up your lettering in
here. Yeah.
Which you guys do something. Yeah. I've learned that taverna is on everything.
Taverna, it just means a tavern.
Yeah.
Just tavern.
But I was, I'm always impressed with that, with like Greeks.
Oh, dude.
Because we were just like, I was just a suburban kid, so it was like everything was like pro-American.
Right.
Everything was
very
American. Like,
no, dude, we would like, there was guys where it was like, there'd be a couple guys that got like, because the Baltimore City Police was so dog shit, they would fire the commissioner constantly, right? And when I was growing up in the 90s in Baltimore, it was not good at all.
No.
You know, it was tough.
It's what inspired
when,
The Wire.
It's when The Wire was written and stuff, right? So, so they would have interim commissioners constantly, and one of the interim commissioners happened to be Greek.
Was that a big day in the community?
Dude, what Rudy Giuliani did to New York, he did times 10 to Greektown, where it was just like, he was like, take it out of Greektown. They were just like police brutalitying any teenager that was on the street. Greektown went from like the shittiest place to just like, this motherfucker cleaned it up through the like iron rule of law. There was no due process. We're getting fucking
batting kids out.
The batons were getting a nice little workout.
It is funny to think if you're just like a regular white guy in Baltimore and you're like, yeah, did you see how nice Greek town is?
Yeah, yeah.
You're just
yeah,
like going yeah, by yeah. and noticing how, but it's only Greek
Dude,
town?
Dude, it's an 8x9 block That's neighborhood. So funny. And so we got such a hilarious surplus of funding. And then it was the same thing where it was like there was one guy who was like a lawyer that worked in the mayor's office. And like I had a friend who didn't get into like the, there's only, the way Baltimore's high school system works yeah. too, it's dog shit if you go to your regular school. But we had magnet schools that if you were like, you know, you could test into and get sure. into. It's fucked up to make kids like jump through hoops to be like, hey, you might have a shot in life if you
yeah,
get into these,
maybe.
These four high schools.
Why don't you get out of that swamp?
And everyone else is fucked, here. You yeah. know? But one of my friends didn't get in and they just like, their parent called this guy and then they just like, oh yeah, we actually, they took a look at your admittance again and you're actually in now.
When that guy would become like the police chief or whatever, mm-hmm. would the Greek parents be like, be a cop because one was running it? Did they ever do that? Where
no,
like,
we never did. No, that's interesting. There was no...
Because I feel like right now, you know, with the New York Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that quarterback's name?
Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
I almost called him Anthony DeVito, yeah, our friend's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, shout out to but Tony.
Shout out to Anthony
Shout out
DeVito.
To Fat Tony DeVito.
Fat Tones. recently married. He, but now you got Tommy DeVito. Italians are very big on like there's gonna be a lot of kids in New Jersey going like, and he drops back,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Carvizzi drops back.
Hey, it's back. Italians are quarterbacks.
Everyone,
you
says,
had 2 years, blacks.
Yeah. Running. How about a quarterback that can make a sauce?
Yeah.
That's what they're thinking. I also like that he goes like
he
this.
He does. I mean,
that's all marketing.
He is complete. I mean, the guy's a. He's like a caricature of an Italian.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like he's doing Italian face. He lives with his parents.
Yeah, in
Not
Jersey.
Just in Jersey, with his parents in Jersey.
Did you see the tailgate?
Mm-mm.
The tailgate for the game of the Packers on Monday night. They had 40 people in the parking lot, and the spread was nuts.
Oh, I believe that.
The guy was like, you have a little Italian, a little sausage and peppers.
Yeah.
He's like, it's stuff I've never even heard about. He's like, there's a little pucca oil.
Yeah. Bracadul.
Yeah.
Get a little bracadul.
Yeah, a little majolana. And then we're going to move over. And like, I don't even know what that is. They're like, this guy fucking forgot about.
Yeah.
But there's something about it. Because you're in the AFC. Ravens are number one.
Ravens,
in the AFC.
Baby.
Niners are number one in the NFC.
Are we getting a rematch? We weren't friends the last Niners. We didn't know each other, Niners.
Super Bowl 47.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
Niners
the Harbaugh
Ravens.
Bowl.
It was the Harbaugh.
Yeah, the Harbaugh.
We might be getting that. We play each other on Christmas.
We do.
We're the Christmas game.
In
Baltimore.
Oh, in Baltimore.
No, in Levi's.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if it was in Baltimore, I might have gone.
No, it's in Levi's. It's the New Year's Eve game, Dolphins.
That's Dolphins.
At Ravens.
I might go to that one.
Fins up, baby.
I'm thinking about it. We're about to fuck your boy in the ass.
Mikey sent me a fucking game ball, dude. Mikey gave me a game ball when he beat Belichick.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
So I was like, dude, I gotta save that.
Yeah, that is good.
I got to go to Monday Night Football and go to the Titans game and
one that they lost?
Yeah, it was tough. It was just this Monday. It was a tough.
Shout honestly, out to the Titans.
Fuck you guys.
Number one seed thanks to you guys.
I mean, fuck, man. It was, I've only been when he's won.
So that must have been tough.
When you lose.
Because also, this was a
changes
loss.
Changes the car ride home.
It's also a loss that you weren't expecting.
No.
You know, everyone
well, I mean,
penciled
before the
this
game,
in.
I was like, stomp them out. This will be easy. They're 4-8. Bye.
Yeah.
And then you're like.
For the one seed, too. They needed it to stay the one seed.
And then in the game, you go, okay.
Oh, this is interesting.
All right. Well, you don't realize, like. Mike's wife always says, it's our livelihood.
Mm.
She used to say that when I would come, because like when he used to coach for Washington, I would go up there. I'd go down there, but I'd go down there for like Niners games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, can I wear Niners stuff?
And his
wife would always be like, it's our livelihood. And I'd be like, yeah, but go Niners.
Yeah, but come on.
But I would sit with like the coaching.
I
sat with, when he was in Washington, I went to 49ers at Redskins and we were in the stands, and I had to sit with the coaches' wives, and there was one Niner fan that was, like, talking shit. This is when the 49ers were real good. It's like, 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they were, like, we were one of the best teams in the NFC. Dog walking the Skins.
Yeah.
Every time I'd be like, I would flex, but then this guy started talking shit, like, aggressively talking shit. And I had to be
who?
Like, to like the, cause
just anyone?
Just the section I was
in. Oh, because you were in the visiting wives section.
No, no, we were at home. So this was like all the coaches' wives.
Oh, shit.
It was, the Niners were away. Oh, and this guy was getting so aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That at one point I had to like, instead of flashing a badge, I had to pull up my sweatshirt and be like, hey, I'm a Niners fan. I was like, you got to chill the fuck out.
You're making us look bad, Chief.
I was like, dude, you got to chill out. Yeah, and it really was like flashing a badge. Then he was like, all right.
Respect. I don't respect women, but a fellow Niner fan.
Yeah, that's what he did. That's absolutely what he did. He's like, I don't care about ruining this women's day. Go Niners. He really did the thing where I was like, hey
welcome to the
meeting. He went, bang, bang, Niner guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was almost like, hey, man, I'm undercover. You're blowing my cover.
Hey, he's like, oh, God, sorry. He had a blanket around him. I remember this guy was going nuts. But it is. You like, you don't realize, like, these people, for us, it's like a fun game to go to.
Yeah.
But for them, it's like...
Well, look, I don't mean to push back now, but your boy Mike's now in the beautiful phase where it's almost like, and I, you know, he's a great coach. I wish him the most success, but there's no better thing in life. The best gig of all time is a fired NFL coach because they have to pay you the end of that fucking contract.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So
I mean, there's
I don't want him to get fired. I think he's doing great stuff.
No,
I want him to lose to the Ravens, obviously.
No.
But
disagree. Hard but, disagree.
If I could literally choose one profession to have, it would be recently fired NFL coach.
I will see
Let
that.
Me get
and
fired
I'm going to push back on
with
that.
With 3 years on a fucking, you know, $5 million a year contract.
Oh, think about a fired college football coach.
Oh, that guy, that
Jimbo Fisher?
Jimbo.
He's got like a $70 million deal at Texas A&M.
You're right. Recently fired college is better.
College.
Because you got booster money going in
oh,
there.
Oh, my God. You got weird money. You got Illuminati money coming
in. Absolutely.
You got money where they were invited to a party where they're like, do you want to watch a woman get sacrificed?
Yeah.
And you're like, for what? And they're like, Roll Tide. Yeah. You know how much bloodletting Nick Saban has watched? Where he's like, all right, that's
all
enough.
Right, this is beautiful, fellas.
Yeah, he goes, great, boys. All right, Roll Tide. I'm going to have
Roll
the boys
Tide. Yeah.
I think the best job in sports.
That's awesome, dude. College football Illuminati.
I think Matt Leinart had the best career.
Okay.
Because he was the king at USC.
King at USC when they were awesome.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, right behind Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer wins the Heisman. Leinart comes in, wins the Heisman.
Yep.
So you're like on the same level.
They lost the championship though, right? To Vince Young.
To Vince Young.
Yeah.
But
greatest game. So crazy.
Greatest college football game that I remember watching.
Yeah.
Outside of like that Auburn, Alabama, where Auburn took that kickoff back.
Ooh, that was crazy.
Cam Newton senior year. That was nuts.
Yeah.
But Matt Leinart goes to the NFL, top 10 draft pick to Arizona.
Yes, the Cardinals. That's right.
Doesn't play.
He plays a little bit, doesn't he?
Played a little bit.
Yeah,
but not enough to get his brain mushed.
Yeah, right. True.
Get that fat first-round draft pick contract, goes to Oakland for the Raiders, backup for the rest of the time.
Yep.
Gets a couple snaps in, now is just on the booth, on the
desk. No, you're right. Backup QB, in terms of athletes, yes. Backup QB rules.
You want to take the less amount of damage for the most amount of money.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think the worst is running back.
Oh, the worst
job.
You're
just getting smashed, and then you barely get paid.
No, it's crazy.
Because they don't pay running backs like they used to.
They don't pay them at all, dude. They've wisened up, but it's like, it's fucked up. They treat them like, you know, like a farm animal or some shit.
Like a mule.
Like a mule, yeah.
They just beat the shit out of them, and they're like, put them down.
Yeah.
If you could play professional sports, any sport, and have like, you're going to have a career.
Yeah.
What sport?
When you say going to have a career, just I'm a journeyman?
Not necessarily. You might be a glue guy. You might have a guy that like blows up in the playoffs a couple times.
And
then you return to like average forms. You're not a superstar.
No.
But you do stuff that people in the city recognize. You're not Ray Lewis.
Right.
You're Bart Scott.
Right. I would still choose hoops because honestly, soccer or hoops, because of the crazy amount of money that you make,
sure,
and it doesn't fuck your body up, and it's culturally it's
hoops.
Cool.
Hoops is cool, but you gotta worry about your knees, your ankles, weird breaks. You're gonna get slapped in the face with the back of a hand a lot.
Yeah.
You get poked.
Yeah,
I'd go golf.
Oh,
golf! You're
that's good.
It's just beautiful courses
that's
the whole
good.
Time.
Yeah,
you're always in great weather.
Yep. Yeah,
they only play it when it's good
that's
weather.
That's right.
And you could play your whole career.
Yeah.
Then you go to the senior tour.
Senior tour seems like a good time.
End.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not cool.
It isn't cool. It isn't cool. My buddy Dennis had the best answer to this.
Hit me with it.
He said Premier League star.
Yeah,
so then you go to Europe, you're a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
Come back here, you don't get bothered.
That's a great point.
You can still go to the store.
No, soccer is really probably the answer because we have no understanding of how famous soccer players are in the rest of the world.
And you're in such great shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And their wives are all... Good golf shape. Wives, though.
Golf wives aren't bad. No, this whole thing, you're getting incredible pussy any way you slice it. But I just think, like,
what
soccer...
What do you think sports gets the ugliest? Which sport do you think gets the worst women? You're a womanizer. You love the women.
I do like women. I do like the women. I mean, it's, I guess I don't want to say, I mean, they all get hot women. You know what I mean? Like, you're tempted to say like hockey, but some girls love hockey players.
Oh my God.
You know?
That girl that played house with you, you probably ended up with a hockey player. Hockey players are the toughest sons of bitches.
I'm going to say Arena League football. Like, dude. Imagine the Arena League football groupies.
Just like yeah, I got to go to the arena.
Yeah.
Just the way they say it. I'm going to the dome. My buddy, Aaron, that I grew up with, I played high school football with him. He was great. He was super funny. He played Arena League football for
get the fuck out of here.
8 years.
Wow.
And he like won a championship and shit. Dude, I might derobe. I might unrobe. It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, disrobe, brother.
Disrobe,
dude. I definitely think there is something to be said. I mean, I bet you Arena League football groupies are similar to low-level podcasting groupies.
Are there? Do low-level podcasts? I would say it's honestly on point with comedy.
Yeah.
It's just comedy in general.
Featured.
Bust out Stone Cold shirt, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's the bottom line. The worst groupies. Low-level wrestling.
Low-level wrestling's tough.
Low-level wrestling groupies. Ooh, gotta be a real tough look.
Yeah,
where they go, you remember when you took out Commando?
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
Do some shit. And they're like, you in that blading match?
My dad lost a lot of money on your... You're like, your dad bet on wrestling?
Dude, isn't that crazy? DraftKings does that.
That's crazy. You have to be the next level retard to be fucking wagering money. Yeah,
you're
either
the dumbest person on earth or you have a legit gambling
problem.
Also,
can't you just... That's going to be a scandal so fast. Someone is figuring out... Like, they know who wins.
Yeah, get the dirt
it's
sheet.
It's going to happen. Yeah,
get the dirt sheet, turn around and have a hell of a parlay.
Fuck yeah, dude.
If I was getting fired at the WWE, like if I worked... For WWE or AEW, and I knew I was getting fired, it's immediately what I'd do.
100%. It's going to happen.
Put a $20,000 parlay down.
Yeah, on The Miz winning a three-way match.
How did you know KO was going to win that handcuff match? I just had a feeling.
By the way, how fucking awesome was it that Vince McMahon was accused of being a rapist, disappeared, and came back
with
the most rapist Pepe Le Pew mustache I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, that really is
He
crazy.
Looked like he was tying bitches to the train tracks, dude.
It really, if you've never seen it, we'll put a picture up right now. And it's not even, when you think mustache, it's just hair above his lip.
He has the John Waters mustache, which is like, a gay guy can do that because it's campy.
Yeah.
A straight man is a rapist.
Yeah.
There's no two ways
or a
around
villain.
It. Villain, yeah.
If he's not raping.
I love how you say or. As if there's rapists that are misunderstood.
Sometimes guys just need what they want. You know, sometimes a man has needs.
You can push a man too far.
Yeah. It really is. If you have that mustache, you have to convince people you're not a bad guy.
Right.
You have to be like, I know how this looks.
I know. I'm just,
volunteer with orphans.
This is a community theater. We're doing, I have to look like this.
Oh, my God. Just along the lip. And he also came back with his hair
dyed
black.
Weird. Yep.
Man, that Vince McMahon story, when all is said and done, and all the skeletons can truly come out of the closet. Because you have to understand, I mean, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. It is carnival performance. It's very close to what we do.
For sure.
Why so many comics love wrestling and
Absolutely.
So many wrestlers love comedy.
Absolutely.
Is because we understand that we are both carnival performers.
The lowest rung of show business.
Sagalo and I were driving to Vermont, and we kept doing this thing about like a jester that's obsessed with cancel culture.
My lord.
He's like got like bells on his feet. He's like, oh, I might get canceled for this. What walks in the woods? And does like, you're doing riddles, but you're like, don't cancel me.
Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous. I mean,
what's lean and strong and has never met his father?
Oh, you're a performer. But I think the thing that bugs me the most, and you're very good at this, is when people take comedy too seriously.
Oh, sucks.
And you're like, dude, this is...
It sucks.
It's fuck around time.
Yeah.
Constantly. I think John got it on tape when we were coming in and we were like, let's podcast. But we yeah, were yeah. jokingly being like...
Let's get in the zone, brother.
Let's grip and rip. I've been sick for like a fucking month. Well, uh-oh. I had COVID, but then I got a head cold, and I'm getting over it now. But the whole thing, my doctor was like, don't smoke weed. So I've just been eating edibles.
Oh, my God, dude.
But before he came over, I was like, hey, should I smoke a little bit of weed? She's like, I'm not your mom. But she really was like, you fucking idiot. Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So I was like, can I have permission?
Can I please smoke weed, Mom?
Can I have the thing that makes me happy to be a silly boy?
But you really, like, there's nothing that bugs me more is than when people... Because you can talk about it. Like, I had a great conversation with Bargetti this morning about mm-hmm. joke writing.
Yeah.
But we weren't taking it, like, too serious.
I definitely am interested in the technical aspects of comedy. I love
but
it,
keep
right?
keep that shit quiet.
Quiet. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You have to act like you're a closeted gay man in the 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
When you talk about actually comedy.
Well, of course we'll handle that business. And then you look at your friend, you tap his foot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go, yeah, meet me in this bathroom stall to talk about tags.
And you go like, so with this premise, I just don't feel like it's like getting over. And someone exposes you and you're like, well, get that away from me.
You get out of here.
Well, no, we were talking about business.
Yeah.
We're talking about how you're going to grow your platform.
Whispering premises through a glory hole.
Yeah, like, oh, that's so cool. Did you ever think about, like, what it would feel like to work at a carnival? And you go, that's pretty good. Because it was always, like, back to kind of what we were saying earlier, it was, like, embarrassing to tell people you did comedy when we started.
Yeah.
I kept it like I was a closeted gay man.
Totally. I couldn't tell my... I think I knew my whole life, and I could not tell my family, because it was, like... They would disappoint them.
Who was the most disappointed?
My father, without question. Like, my mom was disappointed because my mom has this warped idea. She's like a quintessential immigrant mom who's just like, you come over, she's baking baked goods for all my friends.
Can I, real quick, time out
yeah.
before we get to your mom? Katie was really hoping we were going to get some of your mom's cookies.
I don't want everybody to think my mom hates them. She had a hip surgery, and it took her out of the kitchen.
Brother, say no more.
Okay.
Say no more. But
I have to send everyone a postcard because they probably think I'm, like, not friends with them anymore.
Legitimately, Katie goes, do you think he's bringing cookies?
Little V is out. Venetia is out for the count. I told Tom Papa this, and he was literally like, you don't need your hip to make cookies.
I slipped my C5. I still made bread. Tom Papa's like getting mad about people not baking. He goes, oh, really? Will you tell her I had a hernia?
Yeah.
Still got up and made delicious croissants.
Come on, we made some sourdough. We played through the pain.
Yeah. I got a rye that cost me this finger. So your mom's got like this like warped.
Well, dude, she thought I was going to be a kid that goes to like Harvard at 12. She literally thought I was like the smartest kid, and I'm not. I was like good at standardized tests, right?
Yeah.
And I think that gave her like a really...
Did you get good grades?
I got pretty good grades, yeah.
Because you were good at tests.
I was a good student. I was good at tests. And I got...
Also the immigrant mom thing.
Yeah, I definitely had that like, yes, the guilt of like you have to do good in school. And I also figured out pretty quickly like I was smart, but I also figured out like, oh, I could cheat certain times. Yeah. Like, I just figured out a way to get good grades on my report card.
Sure.
Half the time that was learning, half the time that was cheating in high school, you know.
Right.
Figured out a way to like, I had a buddy who took a trig exam right before me, and I got him to like put all the answers in the calculator, and I just had them. He was
part
so smart.
Part of American schooling
yes.
is learning how to cheat.
Learning how to cheat.
And if you don't cheat, you're a dork.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just a dork.
To succeed, you must cheat.
Just learn how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying do it all the time.
Yes. No, I say, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
But in school?
School's bullshit anyway.
They don't really care.
No.
So, learn what you can.
Yeah.
Cheat the rest.
So I had a cheating ring going on about like you would get the kids from the first period to write down their answers really hard. And then we just traced the answers.
On what? Wait, they'd write them down hard on what?
Double paper. They just double paper.
Oh.
And then they would like,
and then you'd sketch like in movies when detectives.
Not even kidding, literally.
You just
what we
do
would
like
do.
The light shade.
And then we would have the answers and then you just memorize them. It was fucking awesome. I loved, I did love cheating, but my mom thought, so when I was like, I'm going to do comedy, she was like, she literally thought I was depriving the world of my mind.
Yeah. Why did you do it? Is that the speech she gave you?
Literally, really dude. I'm not even kidding. She was like, you could do so much for the world.
I know, and this is what you do, sillies.
And
you
she also thought.
You got to Timonium?
Yeah.
You got to Magoobies?
And then it's like, Mom, I'm sorry, Mom, you were so wrong, but. But then she saw that I was working hard at it. My dad, like, when he heard I was doing college, I get a call from my dad when I'm graduating college, and he's like, your mother told me you're, first of all, I answer the phone, I'm like, hello, and all I hear
is. Had you been doing comedy before?
I started comedy freshman year.
Okay.
Took a big break because of the immigrant guilt. Sure. I was like,
so fuck. Immediately you did comedy, and you're like, my parents are going to disown me. Everyone's totally. Going to be disappointed.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to try school for real for like a year. And I did it. I literally interned at the House of Delegates, the Maryland House of Delegates. Like, I did some real shit. And I had good grades. I had a 4.0 until my senior year.
Of college. That's insane.
It was political science and history. It's pretty easy.
No, I mean, you know those are awesome. No. You know? If you would have said communications, I would have given you that. Political science is pretty tough.
It was whatever. But and then I was just so depressed. I was like, I have to do comedy. So senior year, I just do it. And my dad, I get a call from my dad, and it's just like, just a sigh.
No
And
way.
I'm like, hello? And he's like, no hello, no nothing. He's like, your mother told me you're going to do comedy now? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do comedy. And then another, just like another, and a hang up. And that was the conversation.
That was the whole thing? Holy shit.
And it was like, nice, man. Thanks for supporting me.
did you feel any like, I'm going to get him back?
No. Honestly, I wish I had that, but there was nothing. That wasn't really how I felt. It was just like. I just kind of disregarded it. I was like,
were you
kind of
just like bummed out? Like, oh man.
You know, it's hard to say. I guess I just didn't really expect much, to be honest. Like, it was like, my dad always was like, and we're getting better now. Like, we're trying to patch things up.
He's
got to
be proud now.
Yeah.
Now that you're making money, now you're doing
well. He came to the Baltimore shows, and I think it was like, because I went to the Lyric. And it's a fucking huge, awesome venue.
Yeah.
And I think this year kind of dawned on him. And we talked for the first time in a while. And we're trying to get, you know, it's also like mortality happens. People start being, like, my dad is getting up there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think he's starting to realize,
but
like.
I would think after the success of Come Town, I would think after the success of your podcast, of stand-up, there wasn't a moment where he was like, oh, was your mom like, oh.
Well, my mom was, as soon as she saw that I was working hard, she was on board. Even when I hadn't made it. Like, before anything. And my mom was
back
so...
Back when you're on the road with Bobby and
dude,
stuff.
Even before that. Even when I was open micing, but she saw that I had a day job, and then I went to D.C. every night, and then I was working on shit. She just wanted... She thought I was just, like, getting an excuse not to work. Because I'm also lazy. She thought I was like, oh, you're going to do comedy. You're going to get drunk and do open mics, you know? Which was the first, like, couple years of it, right? but, yeah, it was like... but then with my dad, it was just, you know, we're getting back in the zone. And it's so funny, though, with my mom... Where she was proud from the jump, and it's so funny, once Cumtown popped, she would be like, I called her talking to her friends and being like, yes, he has a show, it's like a radio show with his friends, and they're making money, and it's going very good. And then I just hear a pause, and then she's like, what's it called? it's called Cumtown.
I bet she refused to spell it C-U-M.
And it was the cutest.
Come to my town.
Come to my town and have a good time.
When I was on the road with Mullen,
uh-huh.
right before you guys started it, and he was like, yeah, I want to do this podcast because I want to make the logo look like cum.
Look like jizz. That was the whole idea.
That was the only thing.
The whole idea. Like, he worked so hard on that logo.
It was so funny because that's his mind.
Yeah,
when he wants to do something, he wants to do that specific
thing.
He's
locked in.
And he was like, I want to make it look like cum.
Yeah.
But now, like with when your dad goes and sees your stand-up, it's like there's sex stuff in there. How does he feel about
stuff? See, that's the thing is like, I do come from dirtbags.
Yeah. Like, so he's like,
it's not the vulgarity at all. Like,
he's like, I liked when you asked that guy if he gets sucked off.
No, totally. No. My godfather, dude, my dad's best friend is the horniest.
Is he from Greece?
Oh, is he from Greece, dude? This guy is the Greekest horny. Like, he's a caricature. Yeah, he's like,
it does a lot of chest rubbing. A
lot of chest.
Horny guys like to go like this.
Always open, always open. Like,
and they always go like this. What are you questioning?
How are you doing? Yeah. And he's so
a de facto uncle.
Oh, he's, yeah, exactly. I don't see him as much, but it's like, dude, this guy is so traditional that it went all the way around and he's polyamorous again. Where it's like, the man is so in charge that he's just like, I'm going to go get pussy. Just telling his wife that he's getting pussy. And she's like, go ahead, sweetheart. Like, they have such a traditional setup that they have an open relationship.
That's so funny.
He just openly talks about getting pussy in front of her.
I was talking to Daniel Simonson about this last night, where like, when we started comedy, you would get afraid of conservative audiences.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I can't talk about a lot of shit in front of these conservative audiences. And now you're like, they're liberal. I can't talk about a lot of stuff in front of these liberal audiences. Stavi's World podcast.
That's right.
Fat Rascal on Netflix, like I said. You're the fucking best, dude.
You're the best, dude. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that we can make Katie feel bad about your mom's cookies.
Yeah, me too. We're about to go guilt her right now.
I didn't know how I was going to face her.
Yeah.